Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And what a blessing to know that God has been there for the Lighthouse Baptist Church for the last 30 years. Amen. And if you know the Lord, there's no doubt if you've been looking to the Lord, He has been there for you as well throughout all your trials and troubles. Well, what a blessing. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you have supported your pastor and his wife. And even this last month, we have just been bombarded by different letters and cards and people sending them to us and letting us know just how much you appreciate us and what the Lighthouse has meant to you. And that has been a blessing to us as we've been reading those and just celebrating God's goodness. And so we do appreciate your faithfulness as members of the Lighthouse Baptist Church as well. Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26. And before you stand, I want to have you stand in a certain order. Acts chapter 26, and I love chapter 26. It's just Paul's testimony before Agrippa. And the Apostle Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible, a powerful servant of the Lord. He was accused of some things, and he gets an opportunity to stand before King Agrippa and give a testimony as to what has happened to him. And so we'll be sharing that in just a minute here. But before we read this, if you were charter members of Lighthouse Baptist Church back in 1985, would you stand? I want you to stand first. Charter members, amen, in the balcony and here on the floor. What a blessing. What a blessing to see 30 years you're still alive. That's right. All right. If you came within the first 10 years of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, between 1985 and 1995, won't you stand? Amen. Praise the Lord for you. If you came within the first 20 years, the next 10 years, why don't you stand? All right. And then everyone else, go ahead and stand with me this morning, okay, this evening. What a blessing to see just how God has worked in our lives. And 30 years, that's a milestone. That's a long time. I truly believed that the Lord would have already called the church home by now. Amen. But it's a blessing. I believe that's how God would have us to live. If He doesn't come back in the next 100 years, the best way to live is if He's coming back today. Because you'll keep a close walk with God. And that's the ones that God blesses. That's when you can sense His power and His presence. The best way to live is as close to God as you can be. And when you think He's coming back today, you want to get your life straightened out. Amen. You want to be ready. And we all always ought to be ready. He could still come today. Amen. And what a blessing that would be. If you're ready, it would be a blessing anyway. Acts chapter 26. Again, as I mentioned, is Paul's testimony before Agrippa. In verses 1 through 15, Paul reveals to Agrippa his religious upbringing. And through that, him being blinded to Christ, he thought he was serving God by how he was living his life, but he was actually blinded to the true God and to the true Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he presents his conversion to Agrippa, and what a great testimony his conversion was, a salvation testimony. And then we get to verse 16, and we're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 22 because Paul gives his purpose for life. And I believe that I can identify with Paul's purpose for life. And I trust that as a born-again believer, you can identify with Paul's purpose for life. And even as the Lighthouse Baptist Church as well. And so starting in verse 16, the Bible says, as the Lord was meeting and instructing Paul once he received Christ, He says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all of the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth these words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things. Therefore, whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Then King Agrippa believed. The king Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I, accept these bonds. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it is to just sense your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already received in the congregational singing and the special music, these things that bring honor and glory to the cause of Christ, and what a blessing it is to every believer. And now as we read this passage of Scripture and we hear of Paul's testimony, I pray that, Lord, as we spend the next few minutes just going over some of these things and how it applies to Lighthouse Baptist Church and even to my life tonight, I just pray that you would use it and it would be honoring to thee. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul's purpose for life is presented in chapter 26, verse 16 to 22. And verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, as Christ was addressing Paul, he says, and stand upon thy feet, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. God tells Paul, he said, that which you have been saved from is the very ones that I'm going to send you to. Because I've saved you from them, and now I've saved you from the sins that you were living in. Now I want you to go back to the very ones that you were persecuting. I want you to go back to those that you were standing against, and I want you to reach out to them. Paul's purpose to start with was saved to be sent, which takes me back to a motto that we've had since the very beginning that I can think back to, is that as what we do as a church is we bring them in to build them out, build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out. We've been doing that for some 30 years. Amen. Everyone here, that if you've been touched by this church, that's what has happened. Somebody that has been brought into this church and been built up and have been led to understand their purpose for life is to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be able to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And they've reached you and brought you in. And I trust that through the years that as you was brought in, you were built up, and now you're doing the very same thing, going out to tell others about Jesus Christ. In verse 18, we find here that Paul says, and his purpose for ministry and life as well, in verse 18 he says, to open their eyes. Open people's eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ. Not open their eyes to man's religions, not opening their eyes to the philosophies of the world, but opening their eyes to the truth that is in Christ Jesus. The second thing he says, and turn them from darkness to light. Turn them from the darkness of the world, the blinders that the world has on them, to the light of Jesus Christ. From sin to holiness and righteousness. And then he says, from the power of Satan unto God. His purpose for life, to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. To deliver them from the Satan's control to yielding to the Spirit of the living God. What a blessing that is. And Paul is standing before Agrippa and he said, this is my purpose for life. This is just what I do. This is what I've given myself to. In verse 19, I love this statement. Paul says this, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. As a Lighthouse Baptist Church, can I tell you that's exactly how I want this church to stand before Almighty God. That's how I personally want to stand before Almighty God and say, I was not disobedient to your call upon my life. I was not disobedient to do what you have called me to do, what you've empowered me to do. I've understood what that has been, and I have, as to the best of my abilities, continued to serve you and accomplish the things that you have called me to accomplish in my lifetime. 30 years of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, I think that's exactly what we have looked to do. Just to be obedient. Just to be obedient to the call of the Lord. Paul was obedient to God's call. Can I tell you that as I look back on my life, and there's no one that could have foreseen what God saw in me. I didn't see it in myself. I don't count myself worthy to be called into the ministry. I don't count myself as having any kind of exceptional abilities, talents. That's not me. My whole life, I was raised in a large family, but I was a loner. Raised with a family of 13. I was the youngest of 7 boys and had 6 sisters, but when you found me, you'd find me by myself. I was somewhat of a loner. And that's just the way I liked it. It's not that they were kind of turning away from me. I just seemed to like being by myself. My wife would tell you I still like that today. I had was not one that you would look to and say that, oh, he's going to be a preacher when he grows up. My mom said that, but I never thought that. Until I got saved. I got saved when I was young, when I was 8. I knew God had something planned for me, but I didn't know what it was. And I remember spending time. I enjoyed spending time with the Lord. But I was not one to have any exceptional abilities or talents. But what I could do, after the death of my father, I've been running from the Lord. At the death of my father, I committed my life. I said, Lord, I don't know what you have me to do, but I will be obedient to whatever the call. And I don't say this bragging, but I say this because of God's hand upon my life. I've never had to rededicate my life. Once I dedicated my life to God as a young man, I've continued to serve Him. I'm so thankful today that I've done that, and I've not brought shame to the cause of Christ. And I want to live out the rest of my life the very same way. I was seeking a lot of things for happiness. And in my own life, I was pretty much successful in the direction I was going in life. I was an auto body and frame repairman. I was making more money than what a young man my age should have been making. I had my own house. I had 2 cars, a brand new Audi Fox. I had a muscle car and a Camaro. I had a brand new motorcycle. Brand new, because all I did was worked. I committed. I said, I'm just going to work and just going to have these things. And before I ever met my wife, I just was working. I was a hard worker. And I was in a profession I thought I could see myself. I always said I would never have a desk job. Don't ever tell God you'll never do something. Amen. And after my father passed away, I remember things started coming together. And God sent me to an independent fundamental Baptist church where I started growing. I was saved in a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, but really didn't have roots, wasn't grounded. And that's why I was so confused. I think that's why I had such a desire to help other young people to be grounded in the Word of God. The Lord sent me my wife. I would not recommend getting married the first year. When you meet somebody, especially the first 6 months. But that's what happened in our lives. My father passed away in 79, and I was married in 79, later on that year. Right after our honeymoon, we come back, and God placed us in the youth ministry. At that time, I'd already been attending night classes at Indiana Baptist College. I was working and doing a lot of things. Once we got married, I was called to the youth ministry. I was placed as a youth pastor. I continued to do what I could, working out of my garage, making some side money, and now having children coming along, and had a ministry with youth. And my desire was just to not to be disobedient, but to be obedient to the Lord's call. 1984, 5 years after I had been in the youth ministry, God led us to work with my brother in Frankfort, Indiana. I was an associate in youth, started looking there, and I went back to working part-time as well and just looking to serve the Lord. I knew it was God's will. I didn't know what God was doing with our lives at that time. In 1985, it was evident that God, it was actually my brother's, Jim's, burden that we start a satellite church in Indianapolis from the Frankfort Baptist Church, which where I was serving him. And so in order to be able to start a satellite church in Indianapolis, then I would have to start taking on the pastoral responsibilities. And so in 1985, the Lighthouse Baptist Church was started there at 5438 East Washington Street. There's some pictures of that church or that building and where we started the church. I was somewhat put into the pastoral ministry because there had to be a preacher at both churches, and you couldn't be there at the same time. And so for the first year and a half, as my brother Jim, if he was preaching at Frankfort, I was preaching in Indianapolis, and then we would switch. And if I preached at Frankfort Sunday morning, I'd preach in Indianapolis Sunday night. If I preached, and then the next week, I'd preach in Indianapolis Sunday morning, and I would drive to Frankfort to preach Sunday night. We had a Wednesday midweek service in Frankfort, and we had a Thursday night midweek service in Indianapolis. And I was able to get all the youth together to have a youth meeting with all of the church, with all the young people. We can turn that off any time. All right. The bell's rung. Amen. So during that time, I was placed into the pastoral ministry without even realizing that's what I was doing. I was co-pastoring with my brother. In 1986, through a series of things happening, after that year and a half, my brother was looking to close the Lighthouse because we couldn't find a building. We'd been up there in a year and a half, and the attendance had started to going down, and he felt like it was be better to have one church and move everybody back to Frankfort. And at that time, God had already let me know that it was God's call upon my life to pastor, whether it be that church or somewhere else that I was called to pastor. So they put it to a church vote, and in October of 1986, the church voted me in as sole pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. As a pastor, I needed to know something. I preached on this morning in Revelation chapter 1, and the picture that John saw on the island of Patmos, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. And as he looked to the Lord Jesus, he saw him in his glory, and he saw him in the midst of his seven churches. And in his right hand, he had the seven messengers to the churches, which would be the pastors. And out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. And Jesus would be in the midst of his church, and it would be the right hand of Christ, his messengers, his pastors, his preachers, to preach what thus saith the Lord. And I needed to see that. I needed to know, first of all, that Lighthouse Baptist Church was God's church. If God was in the midst of that church, and God would be able to provide whatever needs the church would have. And if I was God's pastor, if I was God's messenger to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, then God would be able to anoint me and use me and empower me to be all that I needed to be as the pastor of that church. And I remember praying that. I was a young man at that time. Yeah. Somebody said, that didn't look like you. you should have saw me before that picture. I remember Saturday night. The custom that I have is if I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I'm on my knees on Saturday night in my prayer closet asking God to use me. I was in that upstairs unit and been a month or two, and I had done everything I could to be able to find a place that we could call our own for the church. And I'd been praying, God, if your hand's upon this church and your hand's upon me, the people need to see that. And we've been looking for over a year for a place. They need to see that your hand's upon this church, and they'll see that if you open the doors to a church building. And I had been doing a lot of work and canvassing, and I've been sending out letters and messages and left them all around all the different denominations concerning buildings. And it was 9 o'clock on that Saturday night, and at 9 o'clock, the phone rang. Now, I'm in prayer. I'm on the floor, and I'm just praying and crying out to God, and the phone's ringing. I'm saying, I wish that person would give up. And something told me, get up and answer the phone. I got up, and I answered the phone, and it was Gail Sayers. It was his name. He was the state rep for the American Baptist Association. He said, I've been out of town for the last 2 weeks. I just got back in town. I didn't think anybody would be at your church or this number this late, but I got your message. And we do have a church building that's still being occupied, but they're going to be closing the doors of that church building in just a couple of weeks. And that is at 6950 East Raymond Street. And if you're interested in it, I have not even listed it yet. If you're interested in it, get back with me. And I said, thank you very much for the call, and I'll pray about it, and I will get back with you. And as soon as I hung up, I knew that was God. That was God just working there. About 9:30 at night, I remember getting up. I drove over. It was just a little over 2 miles away from where we started the church on East Washington Street, 2.5 miles. I drove over here and drove up to the church, a little bitty brick building on a gravel parking lot. And God said, that's yours. I remember getting out and coming up to this glass windows over here and put my hand on that door, and I claimed this building for God. I remember claiming it for the Lord and said, thank you, Lord. To show you how young and naive I was, that was Saturday night. I went back, prepared, and then got up Sunday morning. I told the church Sunday morning, God's given us a church building. It's at 6950 East Raymond Street, and I'm excited about it. And I remember preaching that service that Wednesday night. I got the church together. I said, let's go over. And if you were here, if you're charter members, you remember that. That Wednesday night, we come over here and we join arms. And all of us prayed and claimed this building for God. The next day, that was on Wednesday night. The next day, Thursday night, they rejected a $90,000 offer that I had made on Monday. I called him and I said, yes, we want the building, and this is what we'll be able to give. I've been in contact with the bank, and I said, this, I know this, and so if you'll take it back to them. And I knew that they was going to accept that. And he said, they rejected the $90,000 offering, and we're going to put it up on the market. Couldn't understand that, because I knew God had given us the building. We'd claimed it. That next Saturday night, I was up in my office crying out to God. He said, go claim it again. And I said, I've already claimed it. And he said, no, go claim it like Joshua claimed Jericho. It was January. I don't think there was 2 feet of snow on the ground around Jericho. I come over here that Saturday night, and I marched around this church 7 times. In the snow, Waterman's light come on over here. I thought for sure he's going to call the police, thinking there's a crazy man over there just walking around the building in the snow. Walked around. About the seventh time, I thought, I can see what Joshua was thinking about the last time around, thinking this is pretty crazy. Seventh time around, I come over and put my hands back on the door. I claimed it again. I thank God for it. I didn't tell the people that they had rejected our offer. Monday, after that Sunday, I preached, burdened, because I knew that they had rejected the offer. People didn't know about it. Monday, Gail Sayers called me again. And he said, I've talked to the board, and I convinced them that you were a good man. And if you come underneath the umbrella of the American Baptist Association, we'll give you the building and the property. Temptation. Conviction. Do you believe the Bible? Do you have convictions over what you're going to stand for? Or do you just want a church? Do you just want a building? I can look back now and I see this as clear as day. And I said, I didn't want to offend him, but I said, Mr. Sears, I said, I appreciate that. I said, but we were established as an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I believe God would have us to remain an independent, fundamental Baptist church. But I said, this is what I want you to do. I said, go back to your board and give them another counter offer. They rejected a $90,000 offer. In the meantime, I found out the bank called me and said, you know, we didn't realize that you were a church. I knew at this, and we could offer you the amount based on 75%, but since we know that you're a church, we can only offer you 50%. We couldn't even get the financing. I knew that at the time. I countered with this. I said, if you would take this back to your board, tell them that we'll give you $75,000 for the building and you finance it for us. He said, what? And I said, I believe that this is what God would have us to do. I want you to go back and tell them we'll give them $75,000. We'll go on a balloon payment. We'll pay you so much. At the end of three years, we'll pay it off. But I want you to finance it for the next 3 years. And he says, well, I don't see them accepting that, but I will take it back and present it. They called me back up on that Wednesday and said, I don't know how it happened, but the board has agreed to sell you that property in that little building. That was Wednesday. I told the church Wednesday night, we're having services at 6950 East Raymond Street on Sunday. Before any paperwork was signed, before anything was done, we come over here. That very next Sunday, we had our first services in February of 1987. Only God can do that. Only God could do that. I'm so thankful that I have this memory. And one of the things I look forward to is just thinking back over what God's done for this church, especially in the beginning. In 1988, after we got into the building, the church started exploding. I mean, people started coming from all around. We built our first addition the spring of 1988. And we didn't have any money. We was going to have to come up with a balloon payment in 3 years. But we had a lot of people. God sent a lot of people willing to work. And then God started sending the exact people with the exact skills that we needed. He sent carpenters and plumbers and electricians to help us. We had a people that was willing to work, didn't know how to do anything. I was an auto body repairman. I didn't know anything about carpentry. Today, I can build just about anything. Because we built most all the buildings as you see here. In 1990, we built our second addition, the office and half the gymnasium. Our first addition was now all of our nursery building. That was our first addition. The second addition was 1990. It was the half the office and half a gymnasium. In 1992, every 2 years, we were in another building project. And we didn't have money to hire somebody to build it. We just had people in the church that did the building. And it was just a tremendous blessing. In 1992, we built our third addition, which is a Sunday school wing off the gymnasium. In 1994, the sanctuary, this 700-seat sanctuary. 1994, only 9 years later, God allowed us to build this auditorium. But the people that we hired, the only building that we hired out, and they went bankrupt before they got finished. And so our people had to come in and finish it up. I remember at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning, a day before our first, we was going to have service in here, Brother Merv and myself were in scaffolding, and we were all the way up to the top there painting all of those little metal brackets. Yeah, that's a long way up there. Yeah. I looked over there, and Brother Merv was doing something. I said, what are you doing? He was scribbling his name in the metal, you know. So if you would climb up there, you'll find Merv McNair's name scribbled in that top beam right there in the middle. He wanted to make sure that made it a lasting impression on the building. In 1996, we remodeled the old sanctuary. In 1998, we extended the gymnasium to a full court. I had a member of the guys, especially the Ellis's, said, we'll not be around in time we can get the full court gymnasium, and they were wrong. Amen. And in 1998, we extended the full court gymnasium and also built some Sunday school classes at the end of the gymnasium there. In 2000, we added this balcony that we seat up there. And I remember when we built the balcony in 2000, we had our people get up there. It will hold 189. We filled it up just to see and count it so we'll know exactly how many people the balcony will hold. It'll hold 189. In 2001, what a blessing it was, because we were just going forward and serving the Lord, and we were going to be obedient. We continued to soul win. We continued to do the work that God called us to do. In 2001, we reproduced ourselves by planting a church in Lebanon, which is now, it was called the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lebanon. Yeah. Brother Merv McNair and some of our church family went there to be with them to help start that church, Brother Tim and Linda Barnes. Now, I think one of the main reasons they went because Dawn was their daughter, but, you know, it was a blessing to see those willing to go and be a part of that and what that church is doing now. God is so blessing the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lebanon. But every time I hear about somebody getting saved up there, I thank God that He allowed this church to be a part of establishing that church and reproducing ourselves in Lebanon. We ordained missionaries in 2002, the Lindsays and the Farans, sent them out to the missions ministry. In 2004, we added the Sunday school building north of the gymnasium. In 2006, we added a hallway and four-year extension, and the hallway made it a circular plan. Amen. All this is going with a master plan that we had and a circular plan. I didn't realize how confusing that could be. If you're ever looking to find somebody and you go the direction they're going, you're never going to find them. Amen. And you just keep going in circles and circles. And so, but it was a blessing to have that connection now from the auditorium to the gymnasium and had the circular plan there that we had. In 2007, we sent out Adam and Susan Longo. Had been our song director and associate for 10 years to pastor and brought in Jeremiah and Christy Hightower. 2007. Amen. 8 years ago. It doesn't seem like that's been that long ago that they've been with us. 2008, we sent out Doug and Megan Keppel to pastor. And they're doing a tremendous job. And I'm so thankful to see what God is doing through Doug and Megan and the church there. And brought in Aaron and Becky Connor to work in the youth. Amen. And Andy and Sheree brought them in 2008 as well and got them working in the associate and, first of all, intern position. In 2011, we brought in Buddy and Hallie Himes and moved Andy to main associate position, 2011. 2012, we sent out Tad and Sandy LaGrosse to be Adam Longo's full-time associates there in Arkansas. And seeing what God is doing even through that and preparing those to go out and to continue to work in the church ministry. In 2013, we sent out John and Linda Vanderweer to pastor. And now they're flourishing with a senior ministry and pastoring, and it's a blessing to see how John and Linda are flourishing in the pastoral ministry as well at this time. 2014, we brought in Rob and Rebecca Green, our newest interns and the missions intern. And it didn't take them long, and they're expecting their first child and going to get all that taken care of and then go on deputation by the first of next year. And what a blessing. Another missionary family that we've already ordained, we'll send out from the church to be able to have the lighthouse all around the world. Amen. Having part of that. 2015, already this year, sent out Buddy and Hallie Himes. Been with us for a long time to be the main associate at the Canaan Baptist Church in Covington, Georgia. Brought in Rusty and Crystal Ellis. Who would have ever thought that? Amen. If you were around when they were being raised in this church, you know. Rusty was called to the ministry last year. And he had been working in the ministry, the Christian Law Association, for the last 3 years. And through all that, he got exposed to the pastoral ministry, and God called him to be a pastor. And so now we brought them back in to train here for that call of God upon his life, a pastoral internship here at the church. Can I tell you, through all of this, we're still wanting to be obedient. I don't know all that Paul went through. I know he went through a lot of trials, went through a lot of struggles. There was so much joy in the midst of all of it. Every time somebody got saved, every time he was able to help somebody to salvage a life, every time he was able to help somebody from the power of Satan to turn to the power of God, what a difference it would make. Can I tell you that I still want to be obedient to God's call? I want this church to be able to accomplish all that God has this church here to accomplish. We studied this morning that one of the rebukes was the church of Sardis. It was a dead church. I thank God that Lighthouse Baptist Church has never been referred to as a dead church. And the reason that it has not is because we have the hand of God upon the church, because we are doing what God has called us to do. And we are preaching the very words of God, that very same word that John saw coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ as a two-edged sword. And that's the picture that we need to keep focused on as a Lighthouse Baptist Church, is Jesus Christ in his glory in the midst of his church with the word of God, none being unchangeable, but being preached as what thus saith the Lord. As long as we continue to do that, we'll continue to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out, to bring them in. Not to be disobedient to the call of the Lord. Thank you, church, for being obedient to God's call. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.